When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Is getting gas at Exxon burning a hole in your wallet? Get the Drop app. With Drop, you can earn free gift cards just by filling up your tank. Download Drop now. Use code DROP66 to instantly receive $5 in points.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now. Or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt. Our colleague Noel is not here today, but will return tomorrow? Very soon.
They called me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know.
Before we get started, ShotSpotter did reach out to us regarding some of the statistics provided in our episodes and their position with respect to the Williams case.
ShotSpotter disclaims all responsibility in Mr. Williams' incarceration and disagrees with the Associated Press's factual assertions regarding changing locations.
If you're interested in reviewing additional information from ShotSpotter on these topics, please visit www.shotspotter.com.
Heads up, fellow conspiracy realists, this is part two of a two-part series. We are continuing our discussion of the famous or infamous, certainly controversial, technology known as ShotSpotter. Previously, we discussed the terrifying reality of gun deaths in these United States. We also looked at the ways in which law enforcement, local and federal level, political bodies, and average citizens, right? Just the folks you would see on Nextdoor trying to figure out a solution. And it's funny, Matt, because in the interim between you, Noel, and I recording part one of ShotSpotter and part two of ShotSpotter, I went out, I hit the streets, and I looked for some ShotSpotter arrays. And I'm pretty sure I found some. Maybe they're not brand name, but I'm pretty sure I, like, knowing now what we know about sort of the combo meal of how these things are set up, just for a quick refresher for everybody, ShotSpotter is using some pretty impressive algorithmic software and some pretty cool microphones. In part one, we were not able to discern the specific brand name of these microphones, but we do know the following. There's something like 15 to 20 per square mile, and these microphone arrangements also include the following: a GPS, an onboard computer, a transmitter, and some, they already have some of the algorithmic stuff on site so it can quickly do a calculation. Is that a dump truck? Is that someone with a legendary fart? I think we nailed down the science, right? No one can fart such that ShotSpotter will mistake it for a gunshot, right?
To our knowledge, that's not possible. It hasn't happened yet. That isn't to say, you know, some fast food company will invent something to allow that to occur. Just on the microphones, I'm going to say their, quote, audio detection devices, unquote, are likely proprietary. So they probably are labeled ShotSpotter, right? As like a brand name or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we just don't know what they are because it's technology that they've invented or at least patented, right? So the big thing to be aware of is expensive for a police department to run this thing in a city, and it costs taxpayers a ton of money. And what we're going to talk about today is that the system itself, while the company, you know, says, hey, this thing works great, while there are a lot of people on the internet you can find that say, hey, this thing's amazing and it works great.
A lot of listeners to stuff they don't want you to know are saying the same thing.
Yes, or at least they're aware of how it functions. It seems to function well. But there are a lot of detractors, people who say there's a whole other side to this coin, and we're going to explore that today.
Yeah, and when we do a two-parter, we don't do these super often, but when we do a two-parter, it's usually because we have we've gone a little bit deeper in the rabbit hole and we didn't have time to make it brief. You know, that's one of the infamous jokes about writing, Matt, which I'm sure you've heard, is, can't remember who it was, fellow conspiracy realist, help us out here, but there are multiple instances of these writers corresponding with each other and sending their version of an essay length text and ending it with, sorry, in a hurry, didn't have time to make this brief. So we didn't have the time to make this brief. And, you know, when Matt, Noel, and I are hanging out on air or off, we often run into these sorts of moments where we say, how can we accurately concentrate the facts, the controversy, the conspiracy into something that doesn't become a 4-hour long weird hangout session? If you want to learn what our endless hangout sessions are like without the without the constraints of podcasting, do check out our book, Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. We even had, this is how weird we get with it, folks. We even had our publishers come to us several times and say, hey, this chapter is a little long, but I think we're able to get a lot of stuff in there. What do you think?
Yeah. To my knowledge, we were able to fit everything we wanted to in there. We did have to pare it down to government-only stuff from all the research we gathered.
Right, right. The cryptid chapter, cryptozoology chapter, is one of my favorites. And maybe
paranormal stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, gosh, we went deep on that, too. Basically, we have another book, is what we're saying. We kind of have another book that we'll have to be on the way to soon. And the best way to help us make that happen is to check out this first book. We hope that you enjoy it. It's available wherever you find your favorite books, whether that's your local bookstore, whether that's Amazon.
Well, yeah. And let Daddy Bezos know how you feel about the book by going on Amazon and reviewing it. Seriously, if you've got any kind of Amazon account and you do like the book, please review it. That helps a ton.
It does. It weirdly helps a ton. And yeah, we want to be your 5-star crew. You know what I mean? And because we're asking you, our fellow listeners, for a little help at the top in terms of ratings, especially, we want to give you something in return, right? So we spent a lot of time on ShotSpotter. Here are the facts. Back to the backstory. Okay, Matt, you and I haven't spoken for a weird amount of time for us because we've both been doing some crazy things. Matt is executive producer on one of my favorite seasonal shows, 13 Days of Halloween. You and our pal, Alex Williams, and I guess our pal, Clancy Brown. We can say it now, right? Yes, that guy. I've been working on this wonderful horror show, and it's coming out now. As you hear this episode, you should be able to hear all 13 episodes of 13 Days of Halloween. I'm super biased. I always get a chance to write a couple of episodes, and it's it makes my year, honestly. But in that interim, I was also working on a secret project, which you may hear Matt and Noel allude to cryptically in our listener mail and strange news segments. I hate to miss stuff, but it's been that kind of thing.
You know, Ben, in the absence of transparency, speculation thrives.
That sounds good. Who wrote that? So the thing I found, though, about ShotSpotter, it's fascinating, was I found but have not confirmed some sort of audio tracking relays here in the neighborhood of our old office. Additionally, you know, as we get closer and closer to Halloween, I heard more and more gunshots, and I heard two very close gunshots. And I was thinking back to an earlier conversation we had. I can't remember whether it was on air or off, where we were, I think it's when we were reading letters from fellow listeners in law enforcement, and we started asking each other which of us had ever called the police to report a gunshot.
Yeah.
I don't remember what you said. Yeah, did you call?
No. For me, it was pointing out that where I lived previously, I would hear gunshots pretty consistently. I would also hear fireworks, and it was difficult at times to tell what was what depending on the distance, right? You could kind of make it out if you're standing outside, right? At the time when one of these shots or fireworks occurred, you could usually discern, and you could kind of tell even the caliber often, depending on several factors. But what it sounds like, you just kind of get used to the sound of certain weapons. But if you're inside your house, especially like if it's late at night, many people, including myself, wouldn't be able to discern and then likely wouldn't call the police unless, you know, you're a particularly not crabby person, but somebody who's really concerned and is often in contact with the police.
Right. What may be called a busybody sometimes, but also we have to remember that, you know, there's a reason Good Samaritan laws and so on exist. Many people are rightly concerned about involving themselves in a situation. And so often people won't contact first responders or emergency services unless they feel those gunshots are aimed at them.
Even then, you know, if you think about it rationally, if you call your local police department, depending on how close you are to that department, by the time a shot has been fired, you've heard it, you've called the police, they've dispatched an officer or two, and then the officer makes it out there, it's very unlikely that that police officer will be able to do anything to prevent further crime or stop whatever's happening. It is often, if there was an actual shooting, that officer is going to be a first responder to a gunshot victim rather than, you know, stopping a crime.
100%. That response time is huge. Also, side note, if you are ever in a situation where you feel someone is outside your house or threatening you with entering your house or something, or, you know, your apartment, wherever you live, your domicile, always remember, a lot of people mess this part up. Don't say, I'm going to call the police, or I'm going to call 911. Say, I have called. They are on their way. You know what I mean? Because what you're doing if you threaten a call instead of just making it is you're essentially telling people there is a time interval to your point, Matt, there's a time interval before these folks arrive, right? And look, this can be nasty stuff, but the idea of ShotSpotter and similar technologies is to fight against this, to mitigate that interval of time between a gunshot being fired and someone getting to the scene. When it works, as we explained in part one, it can definitely, absolutely save lives of law enforcement individuals, first responders, EMTs can know what they're getting into. It can save the lives of civilians. It can also help cut short spree shooters, you know, mass shooters who might be proceeding on foot through a neighborhood, right? Or through some certain region or community. So this can make a difference when it works.
Yeah, and according to ShotSpotter, it also increases the likelihood that ballistics evidence will be recovered, which would help close a case if there was an actual crime that occurred that led to a trial or something.
Yes, perfect. That's perfect foreshadowing here. Because, you see, part two of this series could probably be called ShotSpotter Goes to Court. So what happens? What happens when this private company starts helping save or put people away? We're going to pause for a word from our sponsor, and we'll be back.
Is getting gas at Shell burning a hole in your wallet? What if I told you can easily earn cash back while you fill up? Introducing Drop, the app that turns every fill up into a reward. With Drop, you'll earn points to get free gift cards every time you fill up your tank. Download Drop and use code DROP88 to instantly receive $5 in points to jumpstart your savings journey. Don't miss out on turning your gas expenses into something rewarding.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gaginianaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Here's where it gets crazy. Matt, you set this up so very well. We're back in the land of controversies about this technology. And again, to be clear, we are exploring the stuff that critics and proponents have said about ShotSpotter. Additionally, ShotSpotter is not the only audio tracing software or system out there. It's like how Coca-Cola is not the only soda you can buy at the grocery store. It's just the one you might be most aware of. So ShotSpotter probably gets a lot more public attention because it is more pervasive than a lot of these audio tracking, other audio tracking private entities. What you need to know is there is more than one. However, ShotSpotter is the one that comes up the most because they right now have the most data out of, again, the private companies. And we're going to get into some sticky stuff about the future. Man, I know you saw the stat, Matt. ShotSpotter itself, how accurate is it, right? Like, how many times has someone responded on the ground to a ShotSpotter report and found it was just a dump truck, a superhuman farter, road construction, you know, stuff like that? How accurate is it? I saw the statistic, and the statistic feels bold.
Yeah, it is a bold statistic. ShotSpotter claims that their system has a 97% accuracy rate when it comes to identifying gunshots versus other loud sounds in a city where it's placed. 97%. It's very important to remember that is accuracy in discerning whether or not the sound emanated that it's tracking was a gunshot.
Right, right. And with that statistic, we also have to acknowledge that statistics can be so slippery. What they're saying is 97% of the time, they are right when they say something is or is not a gunshot. That's not the same thing as saying 97% of the time, they're right about the specifics of the firearm. Not at all. It's just, it's like up there with, you know, before Google went full alphabet, they had that motto, don't be evil. And We used to joke back and forth about how there's a world of difference between don't be evil and be good, you know? So they're not saying 97% of the time they can tell you, you know, this was an AK versus something else, right? What they are saying is that they know the difference between the stuff that is just, you know, the burps and farts of your average city versus actual discharge of a firearm. Thing is, a lot of folks dispute this. One of the biggest customers for ShotSpotter in specific in the United States is the beautiful city of Chicago. Chicago, we miss you. We're going to hit the road soon and say hello in person. But the thing about Chicago for our purposes is that as it is such a huge customer of ShotSpotter, it also generates a lot of data to pour into, to look at this claim of accuracy. The conspiracy here from the critics is the idea that ShotSpotter is being purposely misleading about that 97% statistic, which again is bold. Another thing we have to realize about this statistic is you will see different claims. They're always going to be, you know, a pretty high percentile, but you will see different specific claims about the accuracy. We went to ShotSpotter's own website. We looked at their literature, and the 97% claim is from 2019. And they said the system overall had a 97% aggregate accuracy rate across the entirety of their customer base, which, you know, you and I work with marketing departments. We love ours, but it does sound a little bit like marketing, doesn't it, Matt?
Yeah, it does sound quite a bit like marketing. I mean, it's strange. They're in that same statement, they're saying there's a very small false positive rate of less than half of a percentage of all reported gunfire incidents. That's intense. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. They also point out in their own literature that the system and the process are evolving constantly, right? Work in progress. We are building the plane that we are flying, which can be taken one of two ways. One, it could be seen by the more optimistic as an inspiring thing, you know, one day, right, there will be 100% accuracy. The other more cynical response would be, hey, why don't you finish building it before you put it out? You know what I mean? And that just, I call it the Larry David scale. Like, how Larry David are you going to be about some stuff? But this is, unfortunately, this is not, you know, this is not complaining about the big salad or whatever. People's lives are at stake. And the question becomes, is this a tool deployed in good faith to save human lives? Or is there something else at play? And that's the scary part. And that's why we have to talk about these statistics, which get a little crazy. So Chicago, huge customer for ShotSpotter. ShotSpotter itself says 97% accuracy overall as of 2019. Other cities, other local journalists in the community will have better stats about how ShotSpotter functions in their neck of the global woods. Now, I think I'm thinking of that San Francisco Examiner article, right? Mm-hmm. When they pointed to a different, was that a different overall accuracy rate for ShotSpotter?
Yeah, I can read you a quote from it. It comes from 2017. And again, it's a statement from ShotSpotter. They, according to this article, guarantee accuracy 80% of the time. And that is speaking again. Well, I don't know. I don't know the context here. I guess that's in detecting an actual gunshot, 80%.
Yeah, and that comes from the CEO, Ralph Clark. Ralph Clark is named in multiple articles on ShotSpotter. Often he's talking about things he feels journalists got wrong. You know what I mean? And it's another get, we made a joke about in part one, but ShotSpotter is litigious. They're not Scientology level litigious, but that's why if you look at outfits like Associated Press or Vice News, you will see some specific retractions or clarifications published. ShotSpotter wants people to avoid criticizing it, which is, you know, that's what every business wants. Right. However, people are disputing the statistics, and the people who are disputing these claims are not, you know, your uncle on Facebook or whatever. There are places like the MacArthur Justice Center in Chicago. They studied more than 40,000 ShotSpotter dispatches, and they found that 89% of those dispatches resulted in no gun-related crime. That's a quote from MacArthur. And they said 86% resulted in no crime at all. That's interesting. We see another 3% discrepancy, right? So it's like, did the cops just show up and someone was like throwing rocks at orphans? And they were like, that's not a gunshot. That's a crime.
Well, again, that's what we're talking about. It doesn't matter how fast and accurate ShotSpotter is in detecting a gunshot. By the time an officer is able to arrive on scene, there may be no evidence of a gun being fired. Theoretically, there would be shell casings on the ground if someone just was firing a weapon and then, you know, got out of there quickly, as is often the case. And they would probably not take the time to pick up any shell casings. But it depends on where the shots occur. It depends on what the, you know, ground looks like there. Is it gravel? Is it dirt? Is it asphalt? Is it, you know, tall grass? There's so many factors. It's tough for me thinking about that 89% resulted in no gun-related crime, 86% no crime at all. When it comes to, because that really doesn't mean that ShotSpotter is failing. That means that when officers arrive on scene, there's no evidence of a crime. There's nobody to apprehend. There's nobody to even probably talk to unless there is somebody there, right? And then they become highly suspicious no matter what they had to do or didn't have to do with firing a weapon.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we're talking about someone who is maybe just hanging out on the street. Maybe someone who's unhoused, right? Maybe someone who lives there and is on their porch. You know what I mean? And that's not bad police work either. That's, hey, let me get an eyewitness. You were here. Tell me what's going on.
Or it could be bad police work too. It could be.
It could
because
be.
That person,
it absolutely could be.
That person could automatically be seen as a suspect, as or somebody 100%. Who potentially had something to do with the gunfire. So it's just, it's
100%. Especially if that person has priors, right? If they have a jacket already, you know what I mean? I'm using jacket as the slang term for your record in a folder in an incarceration system. But if they already have some priors, then of course, suspicion automatically falls on them. You could be a good person in the wrong place at the wrong time, and all of a sudden you're jammed up. But consider the other side. We're still in Chicago with this. The Chicago Inspector General kind of backed up these findings from the MacArthur Justice Center, and they found that this was expensive for police departments. Just like in part one, we talk about this really fascinating deep dive into St. Louis, Missouri, in Police Chief Magazine, which I still did. I'm still surprised that's a magazine. But there's this deep dive into the hidden cost of systems like this for police departments and therefore for taxpayers in those cities, in those towns, in those communities. Anyway, Chicago Inspector General backs up MacArthur Justice, which also backs up some of the findings in St. Louis. And they say these police officers are changing their practice. They're stopping and searching people, right? Stop and frisk, basically, for no other reason than they were in that place where ShotSpotter frequently gives alerts.
Oh, just in the vicinity?
Yeah.
So not having to do with responding to a ShotSpotter hit?
Yeah, not a specific pop.
Okay.
Just, hey, right? That sounds a little bit like an attempt at predicting crime. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Sounds like trying to get in front of something. But it's also missing the big step one. Why are there many ShotSpotter alerts? Because you have ShotSpotter there. You wouldn't have those alerts. If it wasn't there, it would still be the old dispatch, who calls the police kind of system. But also, some LEOs are not super into this, law enforcement officers, because they're thinking of the time it takes, right? If I normalize responding to this, I get the call, I get the buzz, it sounds like it's legit, I'm on the way. It's over. There's no victim. You know what I mean? There's no casing. There's nobody on the street to even, detain for a while. Well, then how many other calls have I missed while doing that, right? In a resource-strapped environment.
Well, and you also, I think it would be hard for a police department to justify not responding if your ShotSpotter software goes off, right? Or the hardware detects a gunshot. How could you justify not investigating that or sending out a car to at least check it out? Which puts a real drain.
Yeah. ShotSpotter told us there was automatic gunfire at a place that has a lot of reports of gun crime, and we just chose to ignore it. That doesn't look good.
And there are all of these factors that we're considering in this episode, and it is obviously extremely complicated. This is not a clear-cut issue, right? One of the ways that we could better evaluate this is if we had more hard information. Information that wasn't, let's say, put together by a sales team to go out and sell more ShotSpotters in more cities. If we could actually see, how does this system actually function in the real world? But we're not really getting that. We are getting specifics coming out of cases that have arisen because of a ShotSpotter call, though.
Mm-hmm. And I love what you just did there, man. You subtly slid in a reference to a quote by a ShotSpotter employee. Paul Green, who said, quote, "Our guarantee was put together by our sales and marketing department, not our engineers."
Yeah, it's referring to the 2017 80% accuracy quote.
Right, right. And then as we know, by 2019, it was apparently 97%, according to their marketing folks. So you point out a great thing. We can look at specific cases. We can look at something like the case of Corey Ali Mohammed, who was a mass shooter apprehended in April 2017 with help from ShotSpotter. So being able to triangulate where these shots were occurring played a massive role in helping law enforcement in Fresno catch this guy before he killed more people. This was a hate crime, racially motivated kind of spree killing, and more people probably would have died if the law wasn't able to get to this criminal when they did. And that's the ShotSpotter story. But the thing is, that's like one specific case, right? That's a success story. As weird as it sounds, because this guy did get convicted of 4 murders, but it's not 5, it's not 8, and it's not 20. And that's what ShotSpotter is saying. They helped create, they helped to mitigate the situation. And this is the thing. ShotSpotter is supposed to be a diagnostic outfit. It's supposed to be an investigative tool for the police. An investigative tool is not the same thing as primary evidence in a court of law in the United States. Evidence is a different thing. And so some of the critics are saying this is a bridge too far. This is the wrong Rubicon to cross for ShotSpotter data to be shared out as evidence in a court of law. And this is not just us on stuff they don't want you to know, saying this can be a sketchy operation. This is a particular concern to places like the ACLU. They say, they had a quote that really stood out to me, because their accusation is that ShotSpotter is kind of cherry picking the data, the information that it does or does not share, and it's not showing its work either, but it's doing it in court, meaning that people can go to prison without transparency on this stuff.
Yeah, at best, I think ShotSpotter could and probably should be used as supporting evidence. You can, if you're going through a trial and as a prosecutor, you are trying to prove that a gun was fired in this vicinity at this specific time, you would have timestamps associated with that weapon being fired with ShotSpotter. But again, that's not the primary evidence to prove that whoever your suspect is the person who fired that weapon. That is just supporting the fact that a weapon was fired at that time. Does that make sense?
So well put. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if we're on video, if this will make it into our YouTube channel. Check that out. But I was doing a lot of nonverbal hyping and agreements. Yes, you have described it 100% better than I could have. Yeah, supporting evidence. There's a line, you know. So ACLU says, in particular, they say, quote, ShotSpotter's methodology is used to provide evidence against defendants in criminal cases, but isn't transparent and hasn't been peer-reviewed or otherwise independently evaluated. That simply isn't acceptable for data that is used in court. ACLU is still on that mid-Atlantic or transatlantic voice.
And then it goes further than this. There are allegations of some naughty things going on at ShotSpotter and between ShotSpotter and police departments and other law enforcement agencies. We're talking about some corruption, some cover-ups, the things that this show likes to talk about. And we're going to address that right when we return from a word from our sponsor.
Is getting gas at Chevron burning a hole in your wallet? What if I told you can easily earn cash back while you fill up? Introducing Drop, the app that turns every fill up into a reward. With Drop, you'll earn points to get free gift cards every time you fill up your tank. Download Drop and use code DROP77 to instantly receive $5 in points to jumpstart your savings journey. Don't miss out on turning your gas expenses into something rewarding.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we have returned. Cover-ups, corruption, conspiracy. There's a lot here. And just to walk you to like mid-rabbit hole. Let's call this mid-rabbit hole, because we can't go too far until the next book, right? Unless, you know, someone's legal department or our own legal department comes for us. So being objective, here's what we can say. Mentioned Vice News, Associated Press earlier. They stated with what appeared to be pretty compelling quantitative evidence that ShotSpotter's human analysts were changing their judgments on results. So that's the human piece, right? We know that ShotSpotter engineers and management themselves had said, yes, we have algorithms, we have some very fancy monitors and microphones, but we always have a human there at the pass, right, to help steer. This the same reason or the same way in which autonomous vehicles in testing phases still have someone sitting behind the driver's wheel, right? There's still a body there, is what they're saying.
Well, there is a body there, and that's one of the big things that ShotSpotter always touts. There's a human being making the determination. A highly trained human being will be able to discern the difference between a gunshot and whatever, a backfire. And this is super tricky, because ShotSpotter also touts that that analyst, that highly trained person, is going to make a determination within, I think, a minute or 90 seconds or something, some time frame that is super short. So if that person does make that determination initially, this was a gunshot, the coordinates that were given to us by the ShotSpotter system are here, and it's a gunshot for sure. Then that person goes back and changes it to something else after officers have already been dispatched. Like, is that for ShotSpotter's records? Is that for, you know, so that they can change their accuracy rating and put it on their website? Like, what is that for? Why would they do that?
Or hypothetically, what if it gets changed after conversations with the local law enforcement? right? Before something goes to court. Spooky stuff. You know, this is ShotSpotter, by the way, disputes this idea of the company's analyst changing those judgments. And they dispute, I'm being very diplomatic when I say dispute, by the way, they dispute the idea of law enforcement being able to put their thumb on the scale, right? And say, no, call this a gunshot. Or no, change the timestamp here. They did have Vice and Associated Press change part of their original reporting after threatening lawsuits. So if you read these Vice articles, if you read the AP articles, you read a couple other things, you'll see at the very end, there's this, hey, we got this court case and this specific thing is not exactly the way it may have sounded in the original article. But that's not the same thing as saying, oh, wait, there's no problem at all. There are huge problems. There are huge problems. I don't think that's a hot take. I don't think that's too far for us to say that there is opportunity for corruption and conspiracy in this thing, right? Because also, I mean, this could run into some of the same problems as automated facial recognition technology. Bias against people of color. It's a little more complicated because it goes into intergenerational things, right? Kind of like how, God, I love that Food Deserts episode, man. Big food deserts are an accidental conspiracy. They're just people not knowing, people in power not understanding nor caring about the full consequences of their actions for short-term gain. And now, you know, with ShotSpotter, we see, you know, really went to bat with them. I know you read this too, man. Who really went to bat with ShotSpotter was the ACLU. And they're like clarifications and corrections part of their report is much longer. And it's all about how they had a fight on the phone. And how the CEO called the folks at the ACLU and said, no. But, you know, the ACLU is lawyers. So threatening them with a defamation lawsuit, that's not really going to swing the needle. So back to our guy, Clark, the CEO of ShotSpotter, he was saying, look, these algorithms are doing the math. They're not spooky robo minds. They're doing basic math that could be done by hand, pen and paper. They're just doing it faster. Again, it's all about the response time, to your earlier point, Matt. But he talks out about the more complex algorithm. Both of these are proprietary, by the way. That's the black box stuff. Also, the CEO, Mr. Clark, does not like us using the phrase black box. But it kind of is a black box. No one's been under the hood. No one can peer review this stuff. That's a huge problem if you're going into a court of law, right? You're saying, hey, I have proof that this is the kind of gun that was fired here. So what's your proof? Do you have eyewitnesses? No. Do you have a recording? Yes. How does it work? Magic. It just doesn't, it doesn't look good. And I, again, I'm not trying to dunk too hard. I know these are good faith actors, but if you can't show your work, then the law gets really tricky, right?
Yeah, it does. It gets extremely tricky. Why don't we jump to what the other critics are saying? Like, there's a lot of criticism of this thing. We were talking about Chicago earlier in this episode. We talked about 2017, 2019, and as of, I believe it's this year, in maybe the summer of 2022, there's a case right now, a lawsuit, that is attempting to remove ShotSpotter completely from the city of Chicago. Because there was a 13-year-old boy named Adam Toledo who was killed. And there's a ton of information coming out about how ShotSpotter technology is actually being used in the city right now. And I want to stay in Chicago there because it's had problems for a long time with this system. In March of this year, The Associated Press reported how there is a person named Michael Williams living in Chicago. He went to jail in August of 2021 for the murder of somebody in his neighborhood. Okay. He went to jail for murdering somebody. And a key part of that evidence, guess what it was? It was a, quote, clip of noiseless security video showing a car driving through an intersection and a loud bang picked up by ShotSpotter.
Okay. So, again, is this wrong place, wrong time?
Or is it working perfectly? Is that exactly what happened?
Or is that exactly what happened?
Yeah. How can you put those things together? I mean, if they're time stamped, then logically it would make sense if you can track that sound down and, you know, triangulate it the way ShotSpotter allegedly does and is supposed to do, then maybe that's great evidence. But it seems tough to connect an audio and video feed from separate sources like that and call it enough evidence to send somebody to jail.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he does go to jail. Williams spends almost a year in jail. And this guy has lived in this neighborhood for a while. He's got grandkids. You know what I mean? He's not some hotshot, unhinged, lunatic 19-year-old pulling pranks for TikTok clout. He's a dude who has children and grandchildren. He's not the person you would look at and automatically think criminal.
But ShotSpotter said he was because it pinpointed where that gunshot came from, supposedly.
Mm-hmm. And again, like we said in part one, that system, when it works, it has a high degree of fidelity or sophistication, right? I don't want to say accuracy, sophistication, I'll say. But good news for Williams here. Eventually, the case is dismissed. He loses almost a year of his life at an age where 1 year matters quite a bit. And the prosecutors dismiss this because they ultimately say they have insufficient evidence. They say this video footage, these statements of people in the neighborhood, and particularly this data from ShotSpotter, which again, overall, their process cannot be peer reviewed. They say it's just not enough. So Associated Press goes on to say, look, our investigation found some really troubling stuff here, like some Orwellian style surveillance economy kind of stuff. It's the idea that, well, we'll just give you the quote. I already did a quote. Do you want to do this quote?
Yes, according to the AP, quote, ShotSpotter employees can, and often do, change the source of sounds picked up by its sensors after listening to audio recordings, introducing the possibility of human bias into the gunshot detection algorithm. That's a great point. In the end, it is a human using their training and their understanding to make the determination.
And possibly leveraging their relationships, right? Because still, you know, if you're listening to this and you're human, you know the score, you know the game, you know how humans are often. So AP continues and they claim, quote, employees can and do modify the location or number of shots fired at the request of police, according to court records. And in the past, we're still in this quote, and in the past, city dispatchers or police themselves could make some of these changes, end quote. Not a good look.
Well, yeah. And of course, ShotSpotter says, no, that is not true, right? Their response is no. And they say that to many claims that are similar to this. And ultimately, it's not necessarily like you're completely wrong. It's more like this is misleading. This isn't quite accurate. This is not 97% accurate.
Nice. No, I mean, of course, it's a business. This is not a nonprofit. This is not a foundation. They're out here to hustle and sell and hopefully save human lives. Again, that's the idea. But because it's a for-profit business, what are they going to say? What are they going to be like? Oh, geez, AP, you got me. Good game. No, they're going to use some of these massive profits to sue the Christ out of people who are making them look bad. That's just rational actors, right? So ShotSpotter, spoiler alert, vigorously contests these and similar claims. And like you said, Matt, they're saying these are missing nuance, misleading. They don't paint the full picture. Look, we require this human participation. Our algorithms are constantly being evaluated, tweaked. You know what I mean? We're building the plane we're flying, and we think that is a good thing. Just like Vice, Associated Press later issues a statement correcting their original claims, because both articles are talking about these court cases, right? Specific instances of court cases. But this is a moment where we need to exercise not analysis of anecdotes, not analysis of specific cases. We need to exercise structural thought, right? The problems are bigger than one sick tree in the forest. We need what the suits at our job call the, what was it? There's the 40,000 foot view and then high level view.
That's about right. 40K. Yeah. I mean, you go 40,000 feet, you can see most things in your general area. Yeah. The full picture.
Sure. The whole shebang. So ShotSpotter is still a business. It is actively expanding, or attempting to, of course, as all businesses do. It is actively, monitoring about 911 square miles of the United States, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no holidays. But a number of cities are spooked by this court of public opinion stuff going on, right? And they've stopped using ShotSpotter technology because they, going back to what you pointed out earlier, man, they have decided that ShotSpotter creates too many false positives and false negatives. Could you break down for us what is a false positive, a false negative in this context?
A false positive would be ShotSpotter says there was a gunshot when there was not. A false negative would be ShotSpotter missing a real gunshot that occurred in the city.
Missing a gunshot.
Yeah. Or, calling it something else, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's just a fart. That's just a dump truck. I got to get off this fart as gunshot thing. It's ruining the show. But a false negative, it's kind of like going to a McDonald's and they don't have fries, right?
That's exactly right.
Isn't this your job? Isn't that like your main thing to do? Also,
it's the profit center.
Profit center, right. One of McDonald's biggest profits as a corporation is actually real estate. Just like Target, the department store here in the US, makes a ton of money off surveillance systems. Oh, we're fun at parties. Here, we know we're going long, but one last piece of this episode is incredibly important. We hope we have done an all right job of giving you the lay of the land, the 40,000 foot view, and showing you some of the support, some of the reasons why people believe in systems like this, and some of the reasons why people are concerned. But we have to end on the future. ShotSpotter is not going away. Technology like this is not going away. It is evolving. We found this stat. The Department of Justice says that overall, quite recently, Uncle Sam has spent $6.9 million on gunshot detection systems. This includes ShotSpotter. But this number, it feels kind of small, 6.9 million, right? But that doesn't count many more millions spent by state and local governments. These are just the feds. This is a good business. And we kind of teased cynically the idea of predicting crime.
Yeah.
This is the spookiest part, at least for me, man. This is the spookiest part.
Yeah, because ShotSpotter already has all this technology. It's already in all of these cities across the United States. And then in 2018, they went and did a little thing called an acquisition. They acquired another company. Sorry, the word is so weird to me. They acquired a company called Hunch Lab. And then Hunch Lab takes its AI model and integrates it with ShotSpotter's shot detection models. And guess what? They can predict where gunshots may happen or are going to have an increased likelihood of happening.
Wait. The algorithms and the machine learning and the data can predict, or the marketing department says they can predict?
Well,
because this is part of the problem, right?
Let's put it this way. It's building the plane as you go kind of thing. So it will likely increase. Their accuracy will likely increase if they put it in enough places. If they have it active for long enough, then it probably will increase and it will get more predictive. But right now, who knows? Well, I mean, they've had a couple of years. We'll see what happens.
How is that not violating fundamental aspects of U.S. governance, right? Innocent until proven guilty. You know, like you are prejudged. That's the idea. Ultimately, that's where this goes, right? We don't have visibility on how granular this might get. And I know that also sounds like corporate gobbledygook. But since we don't know whether they're saying, hey, this month in December, we statistically will see higher levels of car theft or something versus 3:42 p.m., April 17th, on the corner of 9th and Tupelo, we need to have two cop cars because there's going to be a heist. You know what I mean? We don't know how close they can zoom in on the future, but they're definitely trying to zoom in on the future a little bit, and that should scare you because there are no real laws yet. There's no real precedent to protect civilians, right? And to protect law enforcement, to be 100% about it. There are no real laws in effect to protect human beings in a situation that becomes closer and closer to prophetic algorithmic time travel. And I know I'm like styling a little bit on this. Welcome to our creepy accidental spoken word performance, but you do need to worry about this. Whether you are a supporter of things like ShotSpotter, whether you are an opponent, the reason you need to worry is that I would posit this evolution in technology is already happening. It's on the way. It's inevitable. And Matt, I thought of you when I was thinking of this part. It feels like a classic Matt thing, man. People are so worried about these proprietary audio surveillance systems. Oh, microphones are everywhere. What kind of world is that going to be? The big hurdle. Oh, I'm doing your move, man, where you hold up the phone whenever people talk about, you know, I can't be tracked. And they're like tweeting us and stuff.
I had that conversation yesterday with a couple of really nice ADT reps that came out to the house to try and sell me a security system. And we ended up talking for about 40 minutes outside on my front stoop. And that was one of their big concerns was like government spying and that kind of thing. And I did exactly that. Just held up my phone. I was like, you guys really worried about the government? I said, Meta and Alphabet already got you, bro.
100%. You know what? Help us mess up the search terms. Also, I'm pretty sure I know how I'm pretty sure I got under the hood of the targeted advertising on social media. I'm not 100%. I'm 97% sure that I figured it out, Matt. And it might be an off the air conversation. Yeah, we got to figure. You and I have to, you know, huddle up and decide whether or not it's worth going to air with. But here's the thing.
Does it involve a dismantled microwave? I'm just joking.
Look, don't try it at home. But it's kind of cool, right? You would have done it.
Yeah,
If you were hanging out, this is before we knew each other, you would have been so down.
Hmm?
We should have continued. Anyway, the surveillance state dismantled microwaves aside, I think the legal department requires us to tell you not to do it. Dismantled microwaves aside, the only real big hurdles to a constant surveillance state now would be privacy concerns. If you want to put it really simply, privacy concerns, right? The software of the mind and the community and society. That's what we mean with privacy concerns. How could it be normalized? And the second thing would be the physical aspect, infrastructure. But as we said, we're holding up our phones. The infrastructure is already there. It is technically easier. I know this, some people may have a problem with this. It is technically easier to deploy a nationwide, pervasive, around-the-clock surveillance system than it is to have everybody driving electric cars, because you need physical infrastructure. It's already there. It's the easiest part of the equation to solve. Millions of Americans, or U.S. residents, I should say. Well, no, North American continent, South American continent, millions, millions, millions already carry a phone constantly. And ethics aside, how difficult is it to do the Christopher Nolan, Dark Knight, Batman trick and just link them all up and have the best echolocation ever? The kind of stuff that would make a bat jealous, or a Batman. That was awkward, but let's keep it in.
I like it.
That's, you like it? Geez, thanks. Well, you know, any landing you could walk away from, right, ShotSpotter?
Oh, geez.
As you build your plane. No, that one's too far. All right. Well, that's our show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our pal Noel will be back soon. I personally can't wait to listen to our Strange News listener mail segments. And we also can't wait for you to be a part of the show, folks. So let us know your thoughts. Again, one of the reasons this was a two-part episode is entirely because we received so much in-depth, well-thought-out correspondence with people who clearly are on have different perspectives about whether or not ShotSpotter is good, whether or not this technology is inevitable, whether or not it's even worth the money, right? And everybody came with fire. You know what I mean? This is one of the reasons we do this show. So when we say we can't wait to hear what you think, we mean it. We try to be easy to find online. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Do we have the MySpace yet?
No, still no MySpace.
One day, man. One mm-hmm. day.
We do have an Instagram conspiracy stuff show. We do have a phone number, 1-833-STDWYTK. Just call in. It's a voicemail. Super easy. 3 minutes. Give yourself a nickname and let us know if we can use your message and voice on the air. If you don't want to do that, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Tired of routine Walgreens trips? Get rewarded for shopping with Drop. With Drop, you can earn free gift cards on groceries, gas, and more. Download Drop now and use code DROP55 to get $5 in points. Join Drop today.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Attention, true crime enthusiast. Searching for a way to unwind after diving deep into the mysteries that keep you up at night? look no further.
Introducing Lazarus Naturals, your trusted companion for CBD relief. With a commitment to transparency, Lazarus Naturals oversees every step from farm to doorstep, ensuring purity and quality you can trust.
Visit LazarusNaturals.com today and discover how CBD can help you decompress and recharge for your next investigation.
That's LazarusNaturals.com.
Lazarus Naturals, your partner in unraveling the mysteries of true crime.
Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.